Her middle name is
Asa.
Asa.
Asa. A-S-A.
A-S-A.
Was the Samuel Asa Richardson.
Named after both my grandfathers. My mother's father was Samuel. My father's father was Asa.
Oh. Richardson. That's nice. Mr. Richardson, you mentioned your mother's father. Tell me a little bit about your mother's father. Give me his full name and so forth. Your mother's father first.
There's not much I know about
well,
him.
Well, just...
yeah, he was in... I lived in Maine. Some people from... Yeah, oh yeah, just cut that off, please. Some white people brought him from the South, mm-hmm. used him for a houseboy up in Maine. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a slave. They didn't mm-hmm. not as a, they didn't treat him as a slave. No. They treated him as one of the family. Mm-hmm. And he met a girl from Scotland, McGinnis, her name was Margaret McGinnis, and his name was Samuel Bass. They moved down to Chatham, Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where my mother was born, in Chatham Township. Mm. I think they call it Charing Cross town yeah. that she was born in. My father was born up in Dresden, Ontario.
Oh.
That's where Uncle Tom was buried.
Yeah, you've been over there.
Have you?
Yeah. Now, your father's name was?
My father was Joseph. Henry.
Joseph.
Joseph Henry, yes.
Joseph Henry Richards.
Yes. He was born there, but mm-hmm. his father's name was Asa, that's how I got my
yeah.
middle name.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of relatives up in
over in that area.
In that area. So they came over. They put all their worldly belongings on a wagon, mm-hmm. and their horses and their cows and they.
Yeah.
At that time, they didn't need to have any. There was no one asking for visas or anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People come over here anytime they felt like mm-hmm. it, you know, just cross the border and nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. So they had a ferry at that time. Mm-hmm. So they got on the ferry with these, they had, I think, three or four cows mm-hmm. and a team of horses and buggy horse.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the kids all in the sitting in the wagon with all their mattresses and things, mm-hmm. you know, things people would use to sleep in when they got over here. Mm-hmm. And they moved out here. They moved to Ypsilanti and Second Avenue. And they rented a place there until they could. They were farmers, mm-hmm. and they wanted to get on the farm. So my dad and all of them, my grandfather, and my dad being the oldest of the family, he looked out for them over here. And he was acquainted. He'd been over here and back several times. Mm-hmm. And they bought a farm out here at Merriman and Hitchingham Road.
And, Hitchingham?
Hitchingham. Hitchingham, yes. And Merritt Road. Merritt lived on one corner, and my grandfather lived on the other corner.
Oh, yeah.
On the southwest and side of the street. Well, they kept that farm for a long while. Mr. Merritt wanted to buy it from them because he wanted to enlarge his you know, area around and through that. Well, they sold out to him and bought two or three roads down this, see what they call it, Judd Road, on the corner of Judd and Hitchingham.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my uncle, he had that, there was a little stretch in there, I guess about 20 acres, mm-hmm. that my uncle Dick bought, and that one had a log cabin on it.
Oh, yeah.
But the other house that my grandfather lived in was maybe 200 or 300 feet from his place.
Oh yeah.
So they got together there, and that's where they stayed till he died. Mm-hmm. Then they had my grandmother to come to town with that, and they bought a little place here for her, so she had nothing to worry about. They saw that she had everything that she needed, and so that's how they got to Ypsilanti.
And you can say that you just about lived your whole life right here.
Yeah, I was only, well, I was a baby in arms when they brought me here.
Yeah.
In this house right down here, that blue house there, that's where we moved when I come to first.
Oh, yeah?
So I come right back to where I lived as a baby.
Uh-huh.
He was building upon Monroe. Mm-hmm. He had a house there that he built. And when he got it finished so we could go in there, why we moved from this place here.
I see.
I heard him tell about how much it cost him to dig his basement. There were two men in Ypsi. They were only getting $1 a day, half a dollar a day, or whatever they got people at that time. And he paid this fellow $5 to dig it. He got his brother-in-law to help him. And they dumped that basement in a day's time.
But they did.
They were good workers.
Yeah.
I remember his name too. I guess I can't think of it just offhand. I do know it though. Dick Morton.
Oh, uh-huh.
I guess you've got him down.
Yeah, that Morton family was one of the first families here.
Yeah, well, I think that he's a little different Morton.
Oh, this is Doug Morton.
Yeah, that's. I know the Morton you're thinking about is John Morton and George.
Yeah.
But they were related to the Kerseys here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was the finest carpenter you'd ever want to find.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Old Man Morton.
Uh-huh.
And he taught his sons the trade, and they were good carpenters, but there wasn't nothing like he was.
Yeah.
He was known for building these beautiful stairways for people. And he and my father were quite good friends because my father was a plasterer.
Oh.
And so he'd plaster after Mr. Morton would finish with that. I guess he plastered almost all these houses in Ypsi here. Mm-hmm. He and Mr. Mahaley.
Oh.
Jerry Mahaley. They used to help each other, you know, if they'd need help. Why one would have a job, the other didn't, why they'd switch back and forth.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's how people lived back in those days.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had a sister.
What was her name?
Mildred. Mildred Theora.
Theora.
Theora. Yes.
Now, of course, her name was Richardson at first. What, did she marry?
No, she died quite young.
I see.
They had a flu epidemic. I guess people by the
one at the end of the World War.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I almost went out with that one too.
I did too. I was knocked out pretty much.
Yeah. In fact, I was like. Now what? You told me this before. But what year were you born?
I was born. February the 17th, 1900. So that'd make me 81 years old.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before, but I just wanted for the record.
Oh, yes.
Now, let me see, I guess you told me about your parents now, and you told me about, tell me about your school days growing up here.
We went to the Adam Street School. It's called Adam Street
down.
It was over there next to the Methodist Church. And they had four grades there. A little colored woman, Miss Wise, taught the first and second grade.
Right.
And a Miss Alexander taught the third and fourth grade. Now, for a while, they didn't have Miss Alexander, Wise there. And Miss Alexander taught the whole four grades. When they finished there, we went to the Woodruff School. And I think I spent 2 years over there. Or three years, I guess. Well, seventh grade, we went to high school. Oh, that's what's called, considered the high school. They call it high school at that time, but that was the central school up there.
That's the one down here, the old school, the old high school down here on, was that Cross?
Yes, on corner Cross and Washington Street. Now, there was an old building there at that time, that's what we went into. But they, in the meantime, they were building this new one.
Oh, I see.
That would be the old high school. Mm-hmm. They call it old now.
Mm-hmm.
After I finished high school there, I went to the normal, call it normal at that time, but it's EMU now. Mm-hmm. And I spent almost 2 years there, but then I had a chance to take this apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So I quit school and took that. And when I finished my apprenticeship, they had the funeral directors in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Used the University of Michigan to to teach mortuary science.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we spent a summer up there. They paid $50 for us, and we had to pay $50. I think it cost $100 mm-hmm. to get that.
Mm-hmm.
So we had most all the classes that a doctor would have,
mm-hmm.
but didn't really on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you decided to take mortuary science, were there any other Negro morticians around?
I think
before that they just went to
only, only another fellow and myself. One fellow in Flint and myself were the first two in the outer state.
Oh yeah,
there were a lot of them in Detroit. But,
and before that time, white folks took care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. That's how I got my apprenticeship, was through a white field director.
Mm-hmm. What year did you open up your business?
In 1924.
Mm-hmm.
I was 50 in 1974.
The
50? Boys, Bud had them to give me a recognition ceremony up there in Grand Rapids. And that was my 50th year in 1974, so I've taken on 6 more years, and I still have my license. I have a pin that I can see.
Okay. You just cut it.
Yeah. I got her a license so that if she anything happened to me, you know, she'd be able to follow through and have take care of the family that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't have it that way. She wanted the business. And we couldn't get along.
Mm-hmm.
Squabbled about that, and you know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want any partnership. Wouldn't go in partnership with me. Mm-hmm. He was already in partnership.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you married, because you were in business.
Yes.
And she was in business too.
No, no, no.
Oh, I see. She came into business with you.
Yes.
I see. Mm-hmm. And then after your breakup, then what happened?
Well, she
took over your
life? Yes. Judge Brakey told her that she could operate in my place.
I see.
Well, when I'd get a call, she'd insult the people and do everything, you know, she'd talk sweet to them if they were, mm-hmm. if she could get the business.
Mm-hmm.
If she couldn't get the business, well, then she'd insult them, you know, and all like that. Oh, she was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I decided we couldn't live like that. So, she applied for a divorce. They had a minister here that was pushing her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This, anyhow, but he was noted for that. He was a woman's man, you know. Mm-hmm. He had all his old sisters, you know. Every night in the week, my wife would be out there, going over there, you know, and they were talking. And I know all sorts of things, because the way it worked out, you know, you could tell how it was that he was encouraging her and helping her to get the business from me. So, well, she had me in court there for, I wouldn't sign off, which, because I had, she, you know, told a lie to get the divorce, and they wouldn't give her the divorce until I signed off. I wouldn't sign there for 5 years. And he just let her stay in there, and I stay in. Well, it just got so that people didn't know me anymore. They lost track of me.
Yeah.
That is the new people who come in here.
Yeah.
That during that time, I, that was during the war. And they built the bomber plant out here. Well, when she, we had to move her out of there because it was my parents' property.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And I moved her in there, you know, just to, we were first married. So she tried to get the place and she couldn't get it. So this judge would have let her stay in there another 5 years if she'd have wanted to, I guess. But she took it to, she lost to him, that's how it was. Under some conditions, so they she took it to Michigan Supreme Court. They threw her out the third day. Had no business in there in the first day. So she moved around from place to place. She was building this house, this place in the meantime. Shreves was building the place. And she lived up George Walls and his brother. And then people just kept dying fast. Oh, all these people coming in here were dying like flies. And she did a wonderful business. See, she didn't have any competition. I wouldn't compete against her. So I let her get away with it, but after she got out, well then, well I moved to Detroit. I got away from here, and I opened up a place down there, and I had a partner. This partner didn't have any license. He was just a man who was worked at the morgue, and he could get all those cases at the morgue. So I thought it was a pretty good opportunity to join with him. So he started putting his name down as a funeral director, and they'd have had me in jail. He was posing as a funeral director. Is this on?
No.
No, I thought not. So I don't like to talk gossip, you know.
No, no, I cut it off. Well, now tell me this. There's one thing that I need to get straight in my mind, because I don't know. I've never asked anybody these things. But now, Bud's name is Davis.
Yes.
Now, she was married to Davis before she was married
Terrence
to
Davis. Davis, yes.
I see.
She had four children by him.
Okay. So that would be Bud and Noni and Paul.
And Clarence.
Clarence. I guess Davis. Clarence is one, I don't know.
Yeah, he died.
Oh, I see.
That is, he was killed down in Puerto Rico. He was a seaman, one of these.
Sailor?
Yeah.
Now, she had, were there any other children?
Well, we had two children.
Oh, I see.
Joe, I guess you know him, he has a store up here on the corner.
What's I need to put it down? I told you I'd cut that off. I'll cut it. I'll cut it. You got a son named Joe?
Joe. He has the store up here on Point, where Washington and Huron meet, just at the top of the hill on Harriet Street.
Yeah.
It's called Spring Street when it comes down this way, but it's Harriet from...
Where Harriet and Washington meets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Harriet Washington.
Your liquor store.
Liquor store.
Oh. Uh-huh.
He has a liquor store.
I don't know him. I probably have met him, but I don't know him.
No. Mm-hmm. And then I had another one, Clement. His name was Clement.
Oh, I see. I know him.
No, he died here 12, 15 years ago. Yeah.
Were there any other children?
No, just the two of them. Mm-hmm. I had two children.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I mean, these are things I just didn't know.
No.
Now, after you and she divorced, did she marry again?
Yes, she married Clement Mills from Detroit. He's a postal man. He worked in the post office. I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fairly good job there, I hear. Mm-hmm. I didn't know too much about him.
Well, see, when I got here, all I knew is it was a Lucille's, and then we got to know Noni, and later I got to know Bud, and just recently I got to know Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in fact, I knew Paul for a year before I ever knew he was Bud's brother.
Oh, yeah. Well, he probably went by Bird. His aunt adopted him when we were married.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, oh yeah. Yes. But I guess he changed back to Davis
again. Yeah, he's going to Davis now. Yes. And when I met him, he's... Paul's in the Rotary Club.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I got to know him. Mm-hmm. He joined the Rotary Club, I guess, two, 3 years ago. And I met him there, but I still hadn't connected him up with Bud until one day about less than a year ago. Mm-hmm. He brought Bud to a meeting as his guest.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I found out that they were brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Uh-huh.
Now, all this time we're talking about some pretty interesting times when it comes to folks and around there.
It was called Little Chicago then.
Little Chicago.
We had everything going here.
There's a woman, let me see, I want to ask you about a woman who lives, whose home is over here on Adams Street, down below the church. And her daughter lives in the house now, and her daughter is married to a fellow by the name of Nicholson.
Dennis.
Tell me, who was Mrs. Dennis?
She came here, she and Mr. Dennis, I think he's from Tennessee, and she was from Virginia. They married and lived over in Bay City for a long time. Mm-hmm. When we first met him, my dad had some lots on Adams Street there, mm-hmm. and they bought, I think, four lots from him. And there's a builder here at that time, Cooper, and he built this beautiful big home for himself, I think. I don't know. I guess he probably had it in mind to sell it. Anyhow, I guess she did build it, but then, she sold a lot to him and then bought him back, or how it was. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, she got the property. Mm-hmm. And she had three children. Two of them were born here. She had one when she came here from Bay City. Mm-hmm. But Anna, her daughter, was born here. And Sonny, we call him. I can't even think of his name now.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did she make her money? What money they may have had?
Oh, she kept rumors in Bay City that she had a large house over there.
I see.
And this was a light, large house here. And so she used the same tactics and...
You know what makes me ask that question? I've been to that house down to Iowa.
Oh, have you? Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was, at least once upon a time, a pretty nice place.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of run down now.
Yeah.
And I've been to the house here. Because I know this daughter's husband.
Oh, yes.
But I didn't want to ask her anything.
I
just wondered who Miss... Everybody seems to know Miss Dennis, mm-hmm. but nobody ever
she
told
was
me.
Well known.
Yeah.
Well, she had so many different rumors. She had houses full of rumors.
Of course, they still make their money that way.
Yeah.
Because she has all this place out back there.
Yeah, and then she has property on, you know, other places in town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they were quite prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dennis worked on a railroad. For the president of Michigan Central Railroad, I guess, or something like that. Anyhow, he was at a very select job.
I just wondered. I wondered about that. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned one thing. This house that you're talking about over here. We didn't want to get over and get a picture of that house.
Oh, the first funeral home.
Yeah. Yes. No. First house you lived in?
Yeah, the funeral home. Is that what you meant?
My point is this way. Maybe you meant to point that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's on that side. It's on the west side of the street.
What? Do you remember the house number?
418.
418. Good.
Yeah.
I don't want you to buy and take a picture of that. But I want to show some of the old homes.
Oh, yes.
I want to show some.
And my mother and father's place is next door to it.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. That would be 420?
416.
416.
420. I had it as an apartment house.
Oh, I see.
Six apartments I had there. I rented it to a fellow from Florida, and he was angry at the fellow, or the other fellow was angry at him because he wouldn't let him stay in his place this night. So he set the house afire and burned my apartment house down.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and then went to the police station, told him he burned it down.
Isn't that something?
Two people were burned to death. Not burned, I don't suppose, but suffocated in the place there. Two died, at least.
Uh-huh. Huh. Mm.
So he's in jail, I guess, for life.
Yeah. Mm.
Because he burned his mother's home up, he burned up a trailer down here on just a short distance from where we live here.
Mm-hmm.
He is a bug for sure, pyromaniac.
Oh, gee. Well, during this particular time, of course, you must have seen a lot of things, but one of the things I suspect you saw was several efforts by Negroes to start businesses of various kinds.
Oh, yes. Harry Newton had a grocery store. He did a fine business, meat market. And ice cream parlor, grocery store.
Was that on Harriet?
No, that was on Monroe.
On
Monroe?
Monroe.
And, yes.
Monroe and
that would be Huron Street.
Monroe and Huron.
Huron, but Huron, it's all torn out now, you know, all that area is in there. And they're going to put up a big apartment house there.
Oh,
or
I
hotel
see.
Or something.
Yeah. In other words, I know what you're talking about.
So I worked with him when he was in business there. And then he went out of business. He worked for me.
Yeah.
I had this apartment house and I was building it over. We completely renovated the whole thing, knew everything in it. He has a son living now.
Yeah, 18 and, Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. NC.
NC, yeah, NC.
Yeah.
Did you know Solomon Bo?
Oh, yes.
Egbert Bo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you knew him, he was in the house moving bit.
That's right. Then he had a number of lots, Sol did, all over Ipsy.
Yeah.
And he had, in each of these lots, they raised tobacco here at that time. He had two tobacco houses, one on either side of the driveway where I lived. And where this apartment house was.
Yeah.
And then they had a barn for the horses and all.
Oh.
So there was a lot of buildings on that two or three lots there.
Mm.
So.
But I don't know if I told you this or not, but you know, back around 1880, Solomon Bow had a grocery store.
Yeah, that's what I understand. I think you told me. Yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I know they had a bakery shop there in this big house that he lived.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Smith, a sister to his wife, Frank Smith's mother, Frank's worked for Gordy's, he's a candy maker.
Oh.
Yes, Saul lived there until he died. Then his son in Buffalo, New York, his uncle, Egbert Bow, and my father bought the house from him.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And his equipment, all of the equipment. Mm-hmm. Then Egbert and my father went in the house moving business.
Oh, I see.
So they removed a lot of houses. Mm-hmm. And the dad bought a lot of lots up on Jefferson and Madison. Mm-hmm. And people are building new homes, and they'd be selling these old homes, and he'd find out where they were, and buy them.
Yeah.
Then move them up on these lots up on a lot of those old houses up there on Madison that he moved up there. Uh-huh. So that's, well, he was in the real estate business before that, but he didn't have any license.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, they weren't so strict back in those days.
No. George Hayes told him, why don't you get your license? He was had a grocery store. Mm-hmm. Mr. Hayes did. He was a mayor here at one time, and his son-in-law was a mayor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, so he and my dad got together and got the license, so my dad was, that was years and years back.
Yeah, he became a licensed real estate
dealer. Yeah, licensed real estate dealer.
Now, I mean, he was probably the first black one to practice
In Ipsy, but they had another one here, came on a little later. He worked for Clary Business College, Al Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And Al was, he started that business too.
In real estate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he got around so much. He was running in contact with him. He had a better chance than my dad did because his Clary Business College was, he worked for them. He'd go out and get students all over the state of Michigan, up north and all, northern peninsula, went all over the state recruiting. Students. So he was the second one, mm-hmm. and then Francois worked under him to get his license. Mm-hmm. People here who didn't know, who came here later and didn't know all of this, you know, mm-hmm. and they thought that Francois was the first Negro mm-hmm. had a license, mm-hmm. but Francois was the third one.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I know, and you said that there was someone here before that even.
Well, I'm not sure about, I was talking about the lawyer, but I'm not sure whether he was real estate or not.
Oh.
I know he was insurance.
Oh, yeah.
But this is around 1880.
Oh, no, you're talking about 1834 or 44 or something or other.
Not in real estate.
I thought you told me that.
No, I'm sorry. I don't remember anybody that early in real estate.
I didn't either.
The only man I know about. No, I don't know of any back in those days. Mm-hmm. The first one I think the one I talked about was this guy named Fox, John Fox. John Fox was a lawyer.
Oh, he was in Ann Arbor, wasn't he?
No, he was Ipsilanti. He had an office right downtown in that old hotel there on Michigan Avenue, but that was back around 1880. Mm-hmm. And he died when he was 32 years old.
Oh, I didn't know
anything. And see, now I don't know whether the Foxes that now live in Ann Arbor were related to him or not. Mm-hmm. But I know he had been raised here, and he was supposedly, according to this book, he was the first black man to graduate from the University of Michigan Law School.
Oh, I think I read that.
Yeah. Name was Fox. Mm-hmm. And he was the first black lawyer to practice in the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But he had his office right downtown. Now, I know he had his office down there because the city directory shows him in practice.
Oh, I see.
And the thing that interested me about it was the fact that he represented two insurance companies. And this was an age when black folks had a difficult time getting insurance. Mm-hmm. And the thing I have not done yet is to go back and find out whether he was actually selling life insurance to black people. Because mm-hmm. these were not black insurance companies. These were white. In fact, there weren't any black insurance companies in those days. In those days, blacks were getting their insurance through the lodges.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's the only one I know about other than that, mm-hmm. in real estate.
Oh, yes. It's just that I have a different idea.
No, I don't think he dealt in real estate. Mm-hmm. At least I don't remember anything about it. But... No, he just popped out at me, and I didn't know anything about it, and he just popped up at me, and his, the fact that his office was downtown and so forth, and I still would like to know a lot more about him than I have found mm-hmm. out, but the fact that he died so young,
okay.
and I don't even know what he died from. Mm-hmm. I got his death date and all that, but I don't know what he died
from. Oh, that could be found out at the school of to Lansing.
Yeah, I could do that. And in fact, I'm planning to go to Lansing, okay. but I just haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I want to know is, oh yeah, barbers.
Oh yeah.
Now that was a thriving business once upon a time. And tell me about the barber businesses that you remember.
Oh. We had a barber here, his name was Hiss Norris. Hezekiah, I guess that was probably his name. They called him Hiss Norris.
Hezekiah Norris.
Yes.
Where did he have his shop?
His shop was in the alley behind Michigan Avenue.
Oh. Now, was his patrons primarily white or black?
Black, uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. But Ann Arbor was different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had three or four black barbers in Ann Arbor mm-hmm. who had barber shops. Mm-hmm. I worked in one of them up there. His name was Ellsworth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We boys in Mississippi go up there and work on a Friday and Saturday. All those white people come in there, these old tough beards.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They let them wait till Friday and Saturday so they can get it done for Sunday. They can shave for Sunday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's Elwood Knox, Harry Starks, Bill Roper, myself. We all worked up there with this man.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's two or three others. There's a Pope who had a barber shop there. Now, there, all these people, he dealt with white people.
No.
Mm-hmm. Then years later, there was a Wiley Dee came here from Canada. He was a barber. And Fletcher.
I'm trying to hold you for a moment on Wiley Dee because I know about Wiley Dee, but I've been trying to place him in a matter of time span.
Mm-hmm.
What time span would you say when you say he came here from Canada? Can you remember approximately when he came here?
I think he'd lived here a long time, but he had, that's where he was from.
Originally. Oh, I see.
That's uh-huh. what I meant to say.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell you when he moved over here from Canada.
Mm-hmm. This is as far back as you know he was here.
Yes, uh-huh. That's when I first met him, when he was here.
Uh-huh. Well, the reason I say that, I had said, I have Wiley Dee's name, uh-huh. but I had him in business from about the turn of the century, somewhere around 1905, 1906 or 7.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know what he'd done before he came here.
No, that was here.
Oh, no.
He was not in business that early.
No, he'd come here and, let's see. 1930. Oh, I see. I'm not positive about that, but I remember that his nephew worked for me for a long time. His mother died, and she told me to look out for him. The father wasn't too responsible a person. And so I just about raised this boy. That he was a big boy then. He wasn't any young, but he was big and strong and healthy. And he could work, you know, to handle those bodies as if they were toothpicks. And he worked with me there for 20 years or more. So I'd say 30.
Around 1930.
1930,
Now, where was his shop located?
He had a house on Monroe. The third house from the corner. There was Harry Newton's pharmacy.
I don't know what you mean.
Grocery store.
Grocery store, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then there's another house in there, John Sullivan. Then Wally Day's place, third house from Huron Street on Monroe.
On Monroe. Well, the name interests me for a number of reasons, and I was just interested in that.
I think it was related to some of those days in Saline. You know the days up there?
No, I don't know. But
it's in this book. It's a lot about several blacks up there in Saline at the time, years ago. There's a Fletcher here. He had a barber shop on Harriet Street, right across from the beer garden, Bill Mahaley's beer garden.
Oh yeah.
He did a good business here for years, but he died. Well, both of them died.
Well, he died before I got here. I knew her.
Who?
I knew Mrs. Mahaley, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm speaking of this barber.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you.
I knew Mrs. Mahaley.
But you didn't know Bill.
But I didn't know him.
No.
But she was a pretty old woman when I met her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She died here about a year ago.
Not that long. Just a few weeks ago.
Well, not too long ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, I knew her, but I never knew. I knew about him,
but I never knew him.
Tell me one bit of information, if you can. Tell me about this Mr. Washington's business.
He had a nice business on the corner there.
On the corner of Huron and...
No. On the corner of Hamilton and Harriet.
Hamilton and Harriet.
Yes.
Now, what kind of business did he have?
He had a grocery store and barbershop and...
ice cream?
Grocery and... butcher shop.
Oh.
Now he did a good business. He and his brother were in business together. And I guess there was a whole thing. He got the whole family here.
Yeah. I understand he came here. Came here from Arkansas or someplace.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma. That's right.
Yeah. He came here and he saw that his whole family come up here.
Yeah.
He was a captain in the army, and during the CCC camp days, you know, but he had charge of the up north government or state. I don't know who it was at the CCCs, but anyhow, he was head of it.
Well, you know, he interested me for another reason. You see, when he left Oklahoma, he went to Lincoln University. That's where I went to school.
Oh yeah.
But he went ahead of me because he's older than me. And then when I was at Lincoln, way up in the 50s, and I started working with the Alumni Association, and going through the files, I found him.
Yeah.
That's the first time I'd ever heard of Ypsilanti.
Oh, that's
it. And that was the time and the thing, the first thing I found out about him when I found him, and we had a little form that they fill out. And on this form, he wrote back and said he was a member of the school board.
Wait a minute, let's see, what was it? Yeah, he was. He came here in politics, more or less.
He was on the school board at one time, and he was on the city council at one time. But that's the way I knew about him.
Oh, yes.
But, of course, when I got here, he was dead. But I didn't, I mean, I do know his, so I know his wife, and I know his daughter, Omitha. Mm-hmm. And then this other child, what's her name? Anyway, the other child that he had.
Yeah.
By supposedly somebody else. Uh-huh. Omitha's half-sister.
Yeah.
I know her. Well, Omitha made us know.
In fact,
when she got married. But that's part of the gossip that we don't put on.
No, sure, no. That's right.
Yeah. Well, now
they used to call him Amos and Andy.
Yeah.
They were on a council together, and they saw that they had this Harris Street School back there. They bought that land all back there from Carter for playgrounds. And sort of an amphitheater there at one time, it looked like. And they were having shows there and such as that, you know, people sit on these banks.
Sure.
So they called them Amos and Andy.
Amos and Andy. they tell me he was quite a ladies' man, too. At least he thought he was.
He's kind of a slick, slow-acting guy, you know. He made his rounds all right. But he is on a low key.
I guess I want to ask you something else, and this is getting to be a little personal. Okay, when you came here and you decided you wanted to go into business, okay, how were you able to get the money, the seed money, to go into business?
Well, this Bow property he was talking about,
yeah,
we had bought that, and my father had bought it from my uncle, Egbert Bow. Then that's his share, because he bought, Egbert wanted to buy a place on Hamilton Street. Mm-hmm. So that's how he got the money to buy the place on Hamilton Street. My dad got the
I see.
I'm going to pay him off. And, so that's how we got there. And well, there, the house was there.
So you just
that's where my dad had this property. And that's how he let me go in there and set up my business.
I see. So of course, it wasn't such thing as going down to the bank and saying, I want to go into business, will you loan me the money?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
You can do that.
But only some people.
Only some people could do that.
But the president of the bank, my dad, it was a caretaker of this boy, more or less. He lived on a farm. My dad worked on the farm on his McLeod, Billy McLeod, was an orphan boy.
Right.
And this farmer had taken him to raise.
I see.
And my dad worked for this man. And he looked after Billy while he was a kid there, you know. Then Billy got to college and so forth, and got to be president of the bank in Ypsilanti,
Ypsilanti
Savings Bank, so we could go there and get anything we wanted.
Yeah.
But others, pretty hard, they couldn't get a hold of anything. But we had an inside.
Yeah, inside. There's always been that. Of course, there's always been that kind of situation, that there was somebody. But generally speaking, we just haven't been able to do that kind of thing.
No.
I guess I'm still rather proud of the fact that we got the Johnny Barfield was able to go to the bank and borrow $500,000.
Oh, have mercy.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
did.
A couple months ago, yeah, went down to the savings bank, borrowed $500,000.
Well, there are a different set of people in there. I worked there.
Different time.
Yeah.
Different time.
Yeah.
I mean,
because I went there to buy $5,000 from the owner. Billy had died, and all these other new people were in there. And fella told he wouldn't loan $5,000 to for the whole South End. That's what he told me.
I'm not surprised.
That's what he told me. I'm not lying.
I've heard that kind of thing.
So I gave him up, and I went to see Mac and Mac. Well, I'd known them all my life. We only lived a short distance each other. And he loaned me the money. $15,000. That was a lot different. $5,000 from the Ypsilanti Savings. And then my dad and this not Dick Elliott, but George Elliott. And George had something to do with the bank years later. Mm-hmm. Well, they lived only like two or three doors from us. Mm-hmm. And I knew them well. I could go to the bank. It's not a savings bank. That was at Billy McLeod was there, president at one time. And his father, Elliott's father, when he first come to Ypsilanti, my dad had a livery stable downtown, and where the Mormons feed store was, where there's a restaurant in there now around Michigan Avenue, that was his father rented that place and had a
livery. You mean Hobbs?
No, on the other side of the street.
Oh,
right on the river.
Yeah. Where the granary is. The granary.
No, the granary's farther away. That's way down.
Oh.
This is at the place. It could have been, maybe. I don't know. Is that the granary?
Well, there's still another little place in that between the granary and the old bank.
Yeah.
And that's the place that's a Chinese restaurant now.
Oh, is it?
There are two restaurants there together.
Uh-huh.
When you leave bank going east.
Yeah.
First building you come to is a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And the next one is the granary.
That's the granary, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the name.
Yeah.
I thought the granary was across on Grove in Michigan.
No, it's right directly across the street from Hobbs.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know a colored man owns Hobbs?
Yeah, I met him.
You have?
Yeah. Half.
Uh-huh.
His partner's white.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a livery stable in there, and so I knew them well. Truly, I could get all the loans I wanted. Joe did too.
Mm-hmm.
When George Elliott was in the bank there.
Tell me about your father's livery stable.
Oh, there was a livery stable. The big livery stable in Ipsy was John Connors. That's where Smith's furniture store is.
Oh, yeah.
And all that parking lot in back of there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, behind Smith's was my father's livery stable, Alice Stable at that time. It was off the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And we owned that, but the dad sold it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that got me kind of interested in the funeral business.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He used to drive for the hacks for these funeral directors, you know, that you go to the funeral and they'd all come back and then the horses knew when they were coming back and they'd start racing each other. They had the biggest fun. People in these hacks would be bouncing around.
Yeah. Well, that's a business I didn't know about. That's a business I didn't know about, and I didn't know about your father's livery business.
Oh, well, there, upstairs across the street from where his place was is this was Harry Stark's pool room and
I heard of that
barbershop.
Yeah, I heard of that.
And we were right straight across from the bakery. If you know where the bakery.
Yeah, I know where the bakery.
Right straight across there.
On Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
What is now Michigan Avenue.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Well, see, what was I going to ask you about? This Dr. Dickerson, I guess it was, that had this hospital.
Yeah.
Down there near the high school.
Yeah.
Where was it?
Right on the corner there, right where, what's the name of that gasoline station is? Where the gasoline station is, that's all his lot. That whole great big lot there.
Well, you know who tells me he can't remember that?
Who?
Foster Fletcher.
Foster can't remember when...
He tells me he can't remember that.
Oh.
And I have picked that up. I've been picking that up all over. And I've been... Of course, the thing I'm after now is a picture. See, now I've seen a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was... Well, old Lady Goodman was handling this, and she had a picture. And instead of having a copy of the picture made, she takes it to a Xerox machine. Oh. And I can't copy that. Oh. And I want a picture that. I want a picture of that hospital to go in this book. Because that is a very important part of Ypsilanti's history. That that meant we couldn't go to the other hospitals.
That's right.
And the doc couldn't practice in the other hospitals. So he had to have it, in order to have a place for his patients to go, he had to have his own building. And this is part of our history.
Surely.
I can't find a copy of that picture.
Yeah, there's a fellow come out from Detroit here, a young doctor. He was going to set up out here, and they wouldn't let him practice in the hospital, so he wouldn't come out here.
But that was the Dickinson Hospital then was, you're saying it's right where everybody else says it was, on the corner of, on the corner there where that Clark filling station.
Yeah, across and Washington.
Across and Washington.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna find that place, and I'm gonna find that picture too.
Foster
tell me he can't remember it.
Oh.
Foster says, you know, and he tries to put it way down here on Harriet Street someplace. And I said, no.
they don't like to give credit for Negroes having property up there in that white neighborhood.
That's right. That's right. I see they got a list of people who own property, own nice homes. And I see Robert J. Brooks, Ypsilanti. Did you know them?
Oh yeah, Tree Brooks' son, Robert. He didn't have much. In a way, he did too, I guess. But I think it was his father who.
His father.
We used to call him Tree Brooks. He was a tall man, about 6 foot 6 or 7 inches tall.
Well, there's also a William H. Brooks listed here.
Bill Brooks.
Yeah, that'd be Bill Brooks.
Maybe he's
killed,
but I don't
know.
He didn't have much of
that. Uh-huh. Sometimes.
Then there's two another Brooks. Now, his Tree Brooks' son, he had a son named Bill Brooks, but he stayed in Detroit most of the time. He could have owned some property here.
Then there's a Charles Anderson, Charles and Lucy Anderson, listed in here.
Oh. That was Fred Anderson and Al Anderson's father. They owned a place there right on the corner of Catherine and Adams.
Catherine and Adams. I didn't know anymore then.
No, they turned it down, yeah.
Did you know on Ash? William Ash?
Oh, yeah. I guess he did own that place too. He had a place that was just down south of where I lived, on Washington.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just glancing through here.
A lot of they put anybody that was paying taxes, I guess that's probably.
Evidently, that it could be.
Yeah.
You're probably right. I see a John Brown here.
Oh, yeah.
Ypsilanti.
Yeah.
And.
Did you see a Fred Anderson there?
No.
Or Al Anderson? He owned that own property here.
Yeah, there's an Al Anderson.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't see a Fred.
Fred, he lived in Ann Arbor most of the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's an Alfred Anderson. I see a James Clark. Would that have been...
Richest Negro in Ipsy.
Was that Dr. Clark?
No, he is a... on a saloon downtown there.
Oh.
And you know why he had money.
Yeah. Well, now is
his... all their money at his place.
Where did he live?
He lived there on Adams Street, right at the alley between Catherine and Woodard.
Then that house may still be there, huh?
It is there, yeah. Right on the alleyway.
Mm-hmm. Edward There's a Mrs. Anna Clark, Ypsilanti. And I see a Kane, Mr. Marshall Kane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lived up on Normal Street, between Congress and a long span in there over to Michigan Avenue.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
Yeah, Marshall, please.
Miss Elizabeth Crosby. Used to be a lot of...